This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيدي ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا وإذا أردنا أن نهلك قرية أمرنا مترفيها ففسقوا فيها فحق عليها القول فدمرناها تدميرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. So in the Quran, there are many nations talked about, but a nation that is addressed very often other than the Quraysh is the Israelites. And the example of Banu Israel is given more often than other nations' examples. It's also true that the prophets of the Israelites are talked about more often. This is essential because we have a lot in common with Bani Israel and the responsibilities that were given to them. Unlike other prophets like Nuh alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, and Shu'aib alayhi salam, for example, even being the Arab prophets. So you would think geographically and historically they are closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because of the region. But they're talked about in reference to the da'wah that is similar in the Meccan period of the Prophet's life. But the Israelites are different because Allah also gave them laws. And also Allah also turned them into an entire ummah. If you look at the previous other nations and other followers of other prophets, they barely survived as a people. The small minority survives and the vast majority disbelieves and those nations got destroyed. But the Israelites survived as a people. They became an ummah and they thrived as a people. And then they were given the law of Allah to live by as a people. So they have that fundamental thing in common with us. We are living as an ummah. Allah told us, كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And before us, they were the ummah that was given the responsibility of living by guidance. But that ummah suffered several tragedies. They went through several periods of rise, a couple of great periods of rise, and a couple of terrible periods of decline when they were invaded by other nations, they were taken as slaves, they were deprived from practicing their religion, they were forced into other religions, they were persecuted. So a lot of the atrocities that you think of and I think of that are happening in the Ummah today, or you think of Islamic history and some of the terrible crimes that have happened against Muslims today, almost identical kinds of things happened to the Israelites also. And Allah makes reference to what happened with them. We have to bear in mind as we read about the Israelites that Allah says something about Himself. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will not find a different way in which Allah has His legacy. In other words, Allah has the same way of dealing with us as He does with anybody else. So for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, where He was talking about the Israelites at length, He told us, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. As He was talking to them, He then turned to us and says, your God is one and the same. Why is that important to hear? Because the criticism that Allah is giving to them, and the instructions that Allah gives to them, and the way that Allah reprimanded them or punished them or allowed them to be in decline, they did certain things to earn that. And Allah is then turning His attention to us and saying, and your God is, it's not some historical facts, it's the same ilah that's dealing with you. You don't have a different formula. You're not an exception to the rule. Think of it this way. Gravity worked a certain way 1,000 years ago. It works the same way today. Fire used to burn thousands of years ago. Fire still burns today. There are some things that Allah has created in nature. They work the same way no matter what day and age. So the way Allah deals with a believing ummah and the trials it has to go through remain the same. If our behavior is the same, then the response from Allah will remain the same. So Allah turned to the Israelites and said, for example, in ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum. Wa in asa'tum falaha. If you're going to do your best, you're only doing so for yourselves. And then even to the Israelites, He made an invitation. He said, asa rabbukum an yarhamakum wa in udtum udna. Maybe Allah will show you rahmah. May He show you loving care. And if you turn back, if you show animosity, then we'll show animosity. And if you come back, we'll come back. If you turn back to Allah, we'll turn back. So Allah Azza wa Jalla has this formula. Now, part of that, while discussing their decline and summarizing their history in Surah Al-Isra in the beginning, Allah then turned His attention to the immediate audience of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and fused the two, and then gave us certain principles that are important because they are highlighting what are some of the things they messed up that we are in danger of messing up. What are some mistakes that they made that we're in danger of making? And one such mistake is actually a really pivotal principle that we forget, that you and I can easily forget. So I'm going to try to introduce this principle to you and then talk to you about the 15th ayah of this surah, of Surah Al-Isra. Allah has given us a deen in which we have to take other people into consideration all the time. You have to be the best to your parents. You have to be the best to your spouse. Your children have rights over you. Your neighbor has rights over you. You have to say salam to your Muslim brother. You cannot just walk into somebody else's house hatta tastanisu, until you make yourself feel welcome, until it's a welcome time for you to go, an appropriate time for you to go. So consideration for other people and being mindful of other people is a huge part of our deen. It's a very, very big part of our deen. But there is a component of our deen in which you have to pretend nobody exists. Nobody matters. Not even my parents, not my loved ones. In fact, even my own personal feelings don't even matter. What is that one teaching in which no one else matters? Everybody else, you have to pretend nobody else exists. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Man ihtada fa innama yahtadi li nafsihi." Whoever is going to commit to guidance is only doing so for their own benefit. You see, we have to take a lot of social matters into consideration when we make any other decision, even if you leave Islam on the side. When you are going to consider, for your son or your daughter, you're considering a proposal for marriage, you're looking at the family, you're looking at what this one's going to say, what that one's going to say, are people going to raise a finger, what's our reputation going to be like? People consider social phenomena, what kind of gifts are we going to give, what kind of car should we get, what kind of neighborhood should we live in, what information should we tell people, not tell people? We're always thinking about the perception others are going to have of us, right? And it plays, for some people, it plays a huge part in virtually every decision that they make. Sometimes you have to make a decision and you think twice about what are my kids going to think? What is my wife going to think? What's the husband going to think? What are my parents going to think before I make this choice? Whether it's a financial decision, an education decision, any other kind of decision. But there's a certain set of decisions in which Allah has expected you and me to do something. Allah has decreed that certain kind of money is haram. And you already know what it is. You don't need an exhaustive explanation on what kind of earnings are haram. Allah has already explained certain kinds of food is haram. Allah has already made clear certain kinds of actions are haram. Certain kinds of environments are not acceptable. They violate this deen. So you and I already know, because the list of things that are prohibited is very small and is also very clear. There's no confusion about what's wrong in this deen. And everything that's wrong has been elaborated without any doubt. It's not complicated. And it's not complicated because this deen is supposed to be for all of humanity. So it's pretty straightforward. But sometimes our family, society, people's pressure, whatever it may be, other human beings start impacting our decision, and we start bending our commitment to what is right because it will offend someone else. So a scenario could be your family, your spouse wants you to do something that you know is haram. Now you have to think about it's going to hurt their feelings if you don't do it. But in those kinds of moments, the thing that Allah is teaching us, the mindset that Allah is teaching us, is very powerful. I have to pretend that no one else is around. It's just me and Allah, and He expects me to live by certain kinds of guidance, and I'm going to do this entirely for myself. When I obey Allah, it is entirely selfish. It has nothing to do with anyone else. No one's feelings matter. No one's anger matters. My own preferences don't matter. My culture doesn't matter. What country I come from doesn't matter. Somebody's going to think I'm loyal. Somebody's going to think I'm disloyal. None of that, all of that gets erased because it's just me and Allah. It's just me and Allah. That's the only reason I'm following this guidance. That doesn't mean that I get to be ruthless and inconsiderate to others. But no one gets to compromise what I know to be right and wrong with my Rabb. And if somebody wants to get upset with me, well and good. Let them be upset. My Rabb is not angry with me. My Rabb is not upset with me. If Allah has given you a responsibility and He's given me a responsibility, I have to fulfill that responsibility no matter what anybody says. No matter what anybody else does. They all become completely irrelevant. This is part of the implications of مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. But there are other implications. A lot of times, because we are now in a social media kind of environment, people are expressing their personal lives, they're broadcasting personal things about themselves like they've never done before. People want to publish what they're eating, or what they felt that day, or how they woke up, or what their work day was. Like, nobody used to care or really be concerned with any of this, but now we need to broadcast virtually every part of our lives to others, right? And in that broadcast kind of environment, there's a new kind of discussion that's taking place. There's a new kind of thought process that has emerged. And what is that thought process? I used to pray. I used to be good. I used to do this, this, and this. But then, you know, these Muslims, they hurt my feelings. Or this community, they did this, this, this to me. Or these people talk to me in this way. And I don't want anything to do with these people. That's why I don't pray anymore. Or that's why I don't want to be anywhere around these people anymore. I mean, those people hurt your feelings. Or, you know, I would obey Allah. But you know, these people who act like they obey Allah, these women that are wearing hijab, or these people that have big long beards, I've seen what they're really like. I know what kind of criminals they are in business. And I know the kinds of cruelties they do in their family. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to even look like them. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be associated with them. That's why I distance myself from any such practice that makes me look like I'm one of them. I belong in their gang. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm so turned off by their hypocrisy. I'm so turned off by their ignorance, you know, that I just want to disassociate myself with them. You see, in this thought process, there's a fundamental problem. You can hate somebody all you want. You could even have valid criticisms of people that pretend to be religious. All of that's fine. And in many cases, I might even agree with you. But that's not the point. Anything that our deen tells, that Allah tells you to do, if somebody else made you feel good or somebody else made you feel bad, it has nothing to do with you and your Rabb. Nothing. مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever followed and committed themselves to guidance did so for their own self. No one else can be a part of your decision process. No one else. No scars from anyone else. No trauma from anyone else. No hurt feelings from anyone else. They don't matter because that's your relationship with another human being. This ayah is telling us that when it comes to Allah's guidance, every decision that has to do with Allah's revelation has to be separated from what people say and do, for better or for worse, out of resentment or out of love. Doesn't matter. They don't get to be part of that equation. So he said, and then he says, وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. He reinforces it. Because you don't have to actually reinforce, it could be an itnab. You understand it from the first point. Whoever is committed to guidance is only doing so for themselves. by implication, you would know whoever wants to go the wrong way is only doing so to hurt themselves. They're only responsible for themselves. But Allah spells it out. Why is He spelling it out? Because people like to give an excuse. You know why I'm like this? Because of that person. Because of my brother, that's why I drink. Because of my uncle, that's why I do this, this, and this. There's a because of someone else, I disobey Allah. See that thought process? You get to point at somebody else and then justify not your relationship with them, but you get to justify your messed up relationship with Allah. And Allah removes this from the equation. He does not allow me to use anyone. Now, somebody hurt your feelings, that's valid. Somebody wronged you, that's valid. You know what's not valid? That you as a result get to disobey your Rabb. And if whoever wants to be misled that way, wants to hide behind that excuse, whoever wants to do that, before they come, what do you imagine is going to happen on Judgment Day? That you're going to come in front of Allah and say, "Ya Allah, yeah, I know I had a drinking problem, but it's my cousin's fault. You know what he did to me. That's why I'm this way. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's my mom's fault. It's my aunt's fault. It's my friend's fault. It's my company's fault. They did this to me. They pushed me into this." You think Allah's going to just take your sin off of your head and put it on them? That's how Judgment Day works. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever has gone the wrong way, who's ever gone off the far end, they've only done so against their own selves. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. And no one that carries any burden. Listen to these words. I pray you and I internalize these words. No one that carries any burden is going to be carrying the burden of anyone else. And by the way, in this ayah, Allah didn't say no human being will carry anybody else's burden. He said waziratun. Every nafs is called a wazira here. Why is that important? Allah is telling us in this ayah that every human being is fundamentally responsible. Fundamentally responsible. If there's young people in the audience today, I can tell you, if your parents never told you that you're responsible, if your parents never nagged you to pray or stay away from haram things and all that stuff, whether they do or not, whether you think that's annoying or not, whether they never said a single word to you, you're still responsible. I was telling you in the beginning, this was about the Israelites. The Israelites fell into all kinds of corruption and they blindly obeyed their corrupted leadership, their religious leadership. And they introduced new things into the religion that were never part of the religion. And they formed cults against one another. They did all kinds of misguided things. And Allah tells us later on that the vast majority of them have no knowledge what's in their book. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا أَمَانِي وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ. Among them are unlettered people. They don't know except wishful thoughts about what their book actually says. They're just making assumptions. But even those people don't get to come in front of Allah on Judgment Day and say, "Well, the rabbi knew the book. I didn't have a degree in the Torah. That's why I didn't know what it says, and that's why I didn't follow it. It's his fault. He messed up the Saturday sermon. That's why I get to get off the hook. These imams are messed up. These sheikhs are messed up. That's why I'm misguided." Just like you won't get to blame anyone else in your family or your friends, you won't get to blame anybody else who you think is more religious. People, a lot of times, they echo the sentiment online. It's because of these misguided scholars, or that's why the ummah is messed up. Good luck with that excuse on Judgment Day. Because Allah has made every one of us, every single one of us, a carrier of our own burden. وَلَا تَزِيرُ وَازِرَةٌ. This is a powerful, incredible teaching of our religion. You might think it's basic, but it's really incredible. You know what this does? It teaches us that Allah has made every human being intelligent enough, smart enough, capable enough to find the right way themselves. And when you're capable enough and smart enough, then you are held responsible. And what kind of hypocrisy is this? That the moment you turn 18, or even before, you want a driver's license. You're old enough and responsible enough to take other people's life in your hand on the road. You're responsible enough to stop at a red light and not change lanes without looking. And all of that stuff, you're responsible enough. But when it comes to Allah's guidance, he's just a kid. He's just so young. It's not their fault. America, you know, American life, it messes you up. A life for the youth in the West. What nonsense is this? So many people hiding behind, "Oh, it's so much fitna living in the West." No, it's not. The whole world is the West now. What West? Where do you come up with this delusion that somehow it's harder to live in America or really hard to live in Australia or really hard to live in... It's easier to live in Pakistan? It's easier to live in Bangladesh? It's easier to live in, you know, Morocco? These fitna that are here are not there?
this, if there's one kind of corruption there, there's another kind of corruption there. And much of it is the same now, thanks to the web. We're all caught in the same web, you know? So the idea that we get to blame society, blame the day and age, blame technology, blame other people, blame religious scholars, blame corruption, blame confusion, blame. And the only one you don't want to take responsibility for is yourself. This is the lie that Allah crushes. He crushes this lie. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No one that carries a burden, meaning every one of us are in fact carrying a burden, is going to be carrying the burden of anyone else. وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And we would never be one to punish a people, to give any punishment until a messenger has been appointed, meaning until we appoint a messenger. Meaning Allah has now finally sent the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the thing that makes you worthy of Allah's rahmah, the guidance that makes it clear, what does it mean for you to live a good life, has been made clear. Now it's on you. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Tell them just directly. The Prophet is told, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cry over humanity. He used to be overwhelmed with grief that people aren't listening. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ. Same surah in Surah Al-Kahf. What did Allah tell him? قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Tell them the truth comes from your master. Whoever wants, they can believe. Whoever wants, they should disbelieve. Go ahead, make your own choice. You and I are personally held responsible. On the one hand, Allah has rahmah. On the one hand, Allah is the guide. On the one hand, Allah protects. On the one hand, Allah overlooks our mistakes. But you know, the dangerous thing that people often don't talk about, you and I don't think about as Muslims, it's actually the greater danger for the Muslim is not a corruption in their actions, your sins. You're lying, you're cheating, you're doing something wrong. That's bad. But there's something much more dangerous when there's a corruption in your thought process, when your mind is corrupt. When the way you think about things is corrupt, when your worldview becomes corrupt, when you start thinking you can blame others and not yourself, when you start thinking you're somehow off the hook, Allah understands, you'll get to blame your emotional state for your actions. I'll get to just say, Ya Allah, I was in a really bad place. That's why I was doing that. And that's why I'm still doing it. Ya Allah, astaghfirullah al-azim, just one more drink. No. Because, you know, it's her fault. You know? So you could just turn to angels on the right and left. You're writing this for her, right? Not for me. You know, this line of reasoning has to stop. This corrupt thinking is more dangerous than the sin itself. So he says, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Notice how many times this notion has been reinforced. First he said, you know, مَنِ اهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ. That would have been enough. Then he said, وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. Whoever is lost, then they're lost on their own account. They're only losing to their own peril. That's a second reinforcement. Then, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Nobody who's carrying a burden will carry anybody else's burden. A third reinforcement. Why is he reinforcing this? By the way, the first statement means the same other two things. It's saying the same thing. If you really internalize the first statement, that your guidance depends on you, and you have to do so for your own benefit. Until you see that, then nothing else matters. That statement was enough. This is the other statements are reinforcement. Why does the Quran, full of wisdom, where there's no excess wording, why is it reinforcing so much? Because the thing that you and I overlook, the thing that I forget, that I tend to forget the most, Allah reinforces the most. The thing that's easily forgotten is the one that's hammered in more. That's why taqwa is talked about so much in the Quran, over 200 times taqwa is being talked about. Why? Because you and I lose sight of it very quickly. Right? So this is why this needs to be drilled in your head and mind. If you're, you know, we enjoy a great deal of independence today that maybe the history of humanity has never seen. What do I mean by that? Even if you're like living at home with your parents or with family and you're not financially independent, you have a device that gives you access to the entire world and to virtually anything. You're constantly in a position to make whatever choice you want with your mind, with your eyes, with your tongue, with your hands. You're able to make whatever choices you want. You have access to everything. And choice is a huge responsibility. But it doesn't feel that way when you don't see the consequences of your choices. When you just say whatever you feel like, you type up whatever you feel like, You blurt out whatever you feel like. You browse whatever you feel like. You don't feel like there's any consequence to your choices. I don't feel like it because it's split second decisions. Quick hit of the endorphins, right? You just get a quick hit. You get a quick, you know, dopamine high. Then you move on to the next hit, right? And if we don't realize that this is going to lead us down a very dark path, a very terrible path, in which guidance will be taken away from us. The people before us like to blame everybody else. The people before us did not take personal responsibility. The people before us had kind of a group thinking. You know, all these people are like this, all these people are like this. Or they had this defeated thinking about themselves. Oh, we're all messed up anyway. Now it's just, if Allah forgives, He forgives. What can I do? If you pretend to be helpless, that's the last kind of, you know, trick in the shaitan's book on this. If you're done blaming everyone else for your own misguidance, then you're lost all the candidates you could blame, then you come back to yourself and say, this is just who I am. What can I do? This is just how Allah made me. I can't help myself. Really? You can't help yourself. Allah made you incapable of carrying a burden. Is that what you're saying? He called you a wazira. He called you someone who can carry a burden, but you decide to call yourself someone who cannot carry a burden? When he says, لَا تُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا Allah does not burden anyone except they can hold it, they can carry it. He made me responsible. He made you responsible. If no one else ever told you that you are responsible, the fact that Allah revealed it is enough. And if we pretend we never heard about this, and we never realized it, and we never lived by it, you can live for pretend only so long until you have to stand in front of Allah and explain yourself. That's why this ayah, as I leave you, this ayah is ayah number 15. Look at what Allah says in the ayah right before it, actually. Right before it. اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا The ayah right before it was Judgment Day. And on Judgment Day, a person is being told to open up the record of their own life, everything they did. And Allah is telling this person, اقرأ كتابك, read your own book. Read your own book. This is what you did. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Today, you are enough as an accountant, as an auditor against yourself. You are enough as an auditor against yourself. That's what Allah is saying to every human being on Judgment Day that forgot this teaching. And when you're shaken by those words, like, I'm going to be shown everything I did, and I'm going to account for everything I did, then the very next ayah says, this is how you protect yourself from that day. Take guidance for your own self. Become selfish when it comes to guidance. Become scrupulous, uncompromising when it comes to Allah's guidance. It doesn't matter who gets hurt. It doesn't matter what pains you have to go through. It's worth the pain now. It's worth the energy exhaustion now. It's worth losing the friends now. It's worth being called the names now. It is not worth what you're going to be facing then. All the people whose loyalty makes you compromise Allah's guidance will be running away from you and me on Judgment Day. I don't want to be fooled by those kinds of loyalties. And all those people who I did not listen to, and I followed Allah's guidance, and they hated me for it, you might find that they're thanking me for it on Judgment Day. Thank you for not listening to me. Thank you for making me upset. Because if you hadn't done so, I would have been in deeper trouble. I would have been in deeper trouble. So I pray that Allah makes us deeply, internally, personally responsible. He removes from us the tendency to cast blame on everyone else for the way that we are before we put responsibility and blame on ourselves. And when we do blame ourselves, we don't become hopeless. We are still capable. We did not become paralyzed because of our past mistakes. We are still capable. If we were no good and there's no chance for you to redeem yourself, then there's no reason for Allah to keep you alive. There's no reason. The fact that you and I are breathing means Allah has given us an opportunity to redeem ourselves. The fact that we wake up this morning means Allah sees something good in us, the potential of good in us. Whether you want to realize that or not, or declare yourself doomed, that's up to you. That lie, is only to your own peril. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us real with ourselves and those around us. And may Allah make our commitment to His guidance sincere and pure. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla help us live a life that embodies
this beautiful ayah of the Quran. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Quran al Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.